for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, September the 3rd, 2009. Richard Tate is the speaker of this service, teaching on Mountains, Valleys, and Plains.
Brother Richard, come, take my place. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Man, it's good to see everybody.
Yes.
Old and new. We're all one in Him.
Amen.
You know, we don't get anywhere without pressure.
That's right.
And I'm sure that probably a lot of you had pressure getting here. Adversity.
Yes.
Things trying to stop you.
Yes.
We've had a few things around here trying to put us out of business. But you know, if the enemy isn't trying to do something to stop us, then there's something wrong with us.
Amen.
Because we've no longer become an enemy. So, I'm glad you're all here.
Amen.
We're going to have a good time. God's going to do some things.
Yeah.
I'll just say something about that morning prayer meeting. I don't miss it. I mean, I do not miss that one. That's breakfast before breakfast, believe me. It's good. The Spirit of God is here, and a lot of deliverance happens. People are not so awake that they've already got their guard up and defenses, and we're more open. And the Lord comes to do His business, because He comes to set us free. Some of us maybe are too free, but He'll set us free to be free in Him, and that's what we really need, to be free in Him. Tonight, we plan on doing this some other time, but tonight, we're going to do this. We're going to talk to you for a while, because after all this is over, and you've all been delivered, and we've all been delivered, you got to go home. See, and you're going to find out that stuff's still there. You're still who you are. You brought yourself with you. When you give in all the junk, you still got yourself to deal with. And sometimes that's a surprise, because when you get free, you think you're just free, 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 free. It's like when you get baptized and you just come out of the water and you think you're brand new, and then 20 minutes later you find out you're not so brand new. So we're going to talk about mountains, valleys, and plains tonight for a little while. Just a little while. I was touched by that song we sang, Change My Heart, O Lord. We used to sing it in our little church, Break My Heart, O Lord. Because we felt that what the church really needed was a breaking, a real breaking of the heart, because we're calloused, you know, towards the world, really, when we're not compromising. We get calloused towards them. We don't have any feeling. Well, they make their own bed, let them lie in it. You know, but somebody prayed for you.
That's right.
I will guarantee you, and I believe this with all my heart, nobody got in without somebody praying. And I'm not talking about Jesus praying. I'm talking about somebody. I know it was my grandmother for me. She used to tell my mother, leave him alone. He'll be all right someday. But she prayed, and she prayed. And her prayer caught me and chased me and got me. And I'm sure I'm glad that she prayed. In order to have a valley, you need two things. You need a mountain on each side. You can't have a valley without mountains. You have to have them. But also, when you've got two mountains, you've got to have a valley in between. Or you've got one mountain. And God's in the business of mountains and valleys. You can minister all over, do all you want to do. But in the end, you live on mountains and valleys. And it's true. Very true. Sometimes, we think that we go from the valley. I hate to get ahead of myself, golly. But I do. That we go from the valley to the top of the mountain. But we don't. If you only have one one mountain, what you've got below is a plain. You've got to have two mountains to have a valley. And valleys are very necessary in the economy of God. Very necessary because remember the Holy Spirit came to change us. To change us. No matter where you go or how great you get or how small you get, He never stops working on you. He works on you when you're up in the air and ready to go, and He works on you when you're not. Bob Mumford once said, He asked of you in war and peace, in wartime, will you promise Him in peace? When you're singing, Lord, take me, and then He says, I'm here. What do you want? I want you. Well, can I give you a few parts? No, you didn't promise me parts. You said, take me. I'm careful with these songs, you know, because God takes us at our word. You sing that stuff, He says, Holy Spirit, you hear that? He said, give it all. Let's go get it. And then when He comes, we're like, I didn't say that. I was just singing the song. But see, God's serious about His words. He's serious about what we sing. He's serious about what we confess to Him. In Psalm 84, 4 to 7, says this, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, and Zion appeareth before God. The word Baca means weeping. That's what it means in the Hebrew, literally one word, weeping, weeping. So they go through the valley of weeping, and they make it a well. A lot of tears to make a well. It comes from a root word that means to weep. It's amazing that that word, baka, in that scripture, is only used once in the whole Testament. It's one time. Now, the word it comes from means weeping, period. And it's used a lot of times. One of the ways it was used was Psalm 137:1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. That's the root. Weeping. Many times we're in the valley and we're weeping because it's amazing how the enemy can come with that stuff and remind you about how you when you were so strong and you were knocking them dead. And he says, how are you now? Do you remember how great you were? Do you remember how good you felt? You were on top of things and the glory was with you. And now look at you. You must have really done something bad or really done something stupid or you wouldn't be in this fix you're in now. Because one thing He doesn't want us to know is that we're in the valley. Because in the valley is where God brings crushing. He brings breakings. He brings change. People think that we go from that, well, you do in a way. Go from that valley and we have that moment with God, that hilltop experience, that mountaintop experience with God. But we have it without the mountain. John Bunyan, I always want to say Paul Bunyan, but John Bunyan, when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he was in prison and he was contemplating suicide when he got that revelation. That was a mountaintop experience he got. When he got done, he was still in prison. I'll share an experience that I had. Actually, three experiences in one weekend. I was hungry, hungry. Maybe I was too hungry. You know, you can get too hungry. You can get too thirsty. Got to be careful with this stuff. Because a thirsty man that's dying of thirst, he'll drink anything that comes by, anything that's liquid. He don't care. He just wants something in his mouth. I remember when my father was passing away, in one of his light moments, he'd written down what he didn't want done to him if he ever got in bad shape. I think he changed his mind later on. But when the doctor got that directive, he said, wrap him up and take him home. And I remember we had to sponge him in his mouth just with a little thing. Man, he was trying to eat that thing. He wanted that anything liquid so bad. And it reminded me of this time. I said, you know, you can be too thirsty. You can be so hungry, you know, that you'll eat anything that comes by. And we have a lot of Christians who do that.
That's right.
We have the other ones on the other end who don't eat at all. But I mean, we have a lot. We went to church one time some years ago, and there was really something strange going on there. I couldn't put my finger on it. But when we got home, my wife said, you know, the Lord showed me something. And I said, what did he show you? He said, showed me that there was a worm in the bread that he was serving. And I said, well, that's it for me. I said, I just don't think that I'm smart enough to eat around them worms. If I keep eating that stuff, I'm going to get me a worm. No doubt about it. Now, I had friends of mine that would go to places, yeah, I know it's off, kind of off, but there's some good stuff there. And it just always reminded me of that bread. I said, no. I just fast. I'm just not interested in taking a chance on getting something that is going to be bad for me. I said, I just don't not have anything at all. It's amazing how many of us, though, will go even when we know there's something not right because there's something good there. Listen, Balaam was a prophet of God. He liked money. But I mean, he wasn't a false prophet. But there was something wrong there. In my experience, I'd been running about 6 months in a pit or something. See, I didn't know about valleys in those days. I was just, man, I was hanging on by the skin of my teeth. But I was doing church, and I was acting spiritual, and I was prophesying, doing all that stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with what's happening in your life. That's stuff Jesus does through you with other people. But he can do it with, you know, he can do it with a drunk on the street. You know, the bars are full of backslidden preachers. Nothing worse than being in there with people who are drunk and preaching. Especially when you're in rebellion and running. I mean, you know, the last thing you want to hear is that. Go to church, you want to hear that. But I mean, they're there because it never leaves. And the Word of God will operate. And I was really bad. Nobody knew this, including my wife. I mean, I was faking it pretty good. But I mean, I was in bad shape. I thought it was all over. I said, man, you know, I'm just waiting for the thing to hit. Whatever's going to hit, it's going to end it all. And I don't think I'm going to be in a good place when it's done, because I feel real bad. And, you know, the enemy talked me into condemning myself. And that's before I really knew that Romans 8 said, I don't have the right to condemn myself, because only Jesus has the right, and he didn't condemn me. He had justified me. That was kind of away from me at that time, so I'm stuck. And I heard about this meeting, and this was a man I'd heard on tape one time, and he said he knew God. Not like we know God. He knew God. Like Abraham knew God. And when I listened to this little tape, I said, man, that guy knows God. Now that's interesting. I've never met anybody that really knew God. I've met people who knew God, but not know God. So I said, I got to go hear this man. Bad as I'm doing. I said, we got to go. So we had a hard time going because we didn't have any money. Didn't have anything. And the Lord just opened some doors, and I said, we'll just take it one step at a time, sweetheart. Nothing we can't back out of. I said, I'm not getting committed out there and falling on my face. I said, I have enough trouble already. And he worked it out, and we got there. In fact, the goal we had, my mother-in-law was, she was 84 years old. She went in and had laser surgery for cataracts, for cataracts. We picked her up on this morning on Friday. The meeting was Friday night. Picked her up at 10 in the morning, drove her to Sacramento, literally dumped her with my sister-in-law and their family. I mean, dumped her and our two kids, and took them off for L.A. Because this is where the thing was at in Hollywood, North Hollywood. By the time we got there, I was so sick. The flu, I was sick as a dog. Now I'm spiritually miserable. Now I'm physically miserable. So we go to the meeting. It's a small church, and we're sitting there, and like I always say, I'm minding my own business, just sitting there, and the speaker's up there, and he's beginning to talk a little bit, and he just gets out from behind the pulpit, walks around, walks in a row behind me, stands behind me, and starts praying this prayer. It was not a good prayer. Because what he was praying, well, what was in my heart? I mean, just laying it all out. I was like, does they think he's praying for me? Do they think this is what's going on? Does everybody know now where I'm at? I was just devastated. Just devastated. I said, goodness gracious. I'm bad enough feeling as it is without this happening to me. So when we get back to the hotel, my wife Mara says, what was that all about? I didn't want to tell her. I said, well, he was just, you know, praying my life for the last 6 months. That's all he was doing. He was just praying where I'm at and what's going on with me and what's been going on with me for 6 months. And she was like, okay. So we went on the next day. That was Friday night. I'm still sick Saturday. But I'm dragging. I'm not missing the meetings. I came all this way. I'm going to be there. And Saturday, we're singing a song. We're singing in a service. And we're singing this song. Not by might, not by what? Power, but by my saith the Lord. Hallelujah. I like that one. Saith the Lord, this mountain shall be removed. And we're singing it. And these people kind of a thing with singing. They might sing a song 100 times. Literally. I mean, for an hour. At that time, I didn't realize that with some songs, when God's really in so many songs, you sing them like that, and pretty quick you forget, you're just singing. And that's what's happened to me. I forgot, just singing the words. And then all at once, I started hearing what I was singing. Man, that's amazing. I'm really hearing. And then I saw this big thing in front of me, this humongous mountain. I mean, huge. It was insane. You couldn't get past it around. It was overwhelming. And right across the middle of it, it had a big sign that said, relationship. And I saw this path going right up to this mountain, and then it stopped. And this mountain said, no, this mountain stopped this relationship. And I knew it had to be mine because that's where I was. It's like everything had went off the map and I'm pushing and pressing and can't get anywhere and getting frustrated and angry and mad and, you know, and then depressed and self-condemning and all the things that go with it that nobody's experienced here, but I have. And I said, my goodness, no wonder. I'm dead. This thing is insurmountable. And I'm still singing this song. And then all I want to hear, not by might, not by power, this mountain shall be removed. Isn't that how it goes? Not by might, not by power, this mountain shall be removed. And I start singing, and I'm hearing myself singing. I'm looking at this mountain. Now I'm starting to get upset. And I start really singing this thing. And then I start singing this thing to this mountain. And I mean, I was full blown. If there was ever an anointing on me, it was there. It was going. And all at once, this thing just poof was gone. Just was gone. And I knew this thing had been blocking my relationship with God. I don't know what it was. I mean, I knew it was something bad. But I didn't know what had caused it. I never ever found out what had caused it at all. All I knew is it got in my way and just blocked me out and I couldn't go anywhere. The thing that was amazing to me, but the thing that really amazed me was when I looked, I thought I would see, you know, like you put something down in the grass and, you know, and after a while you pick it up and you have that big round circle. So that's what I figured I would see, was this big round circle. What I saw was a little circle about like this, just around. The whole thing was hollow. It was nothing. I could have kicked that thing. It would have put my foot right through it if I'd ever known to do it. And the Lord showed me that that's how He is. He huffs and puffs and He blows. But He's got no substance. He's got no real staying power. He can come at you like a storm, but He can't stay with you. That's why it says resist Him. That's why it says persevere. It's not easy because you don't feel no anointing. You don't feel no good stuff. You know, you feel lousy, terrible, and the enemy is telling you you're going down the tubes. But you have to resist. You have to persevere. You have to push when you don't feel like pushing. That was Saturday. Now I'm feeling pretty good now because I think, okay, all right, I'm going to get my relationship back. Hallelujah. We're going to move. It's going to be good again because it ain't been good for a long time. So we get to Sunday. I think, I've got it. See, there's mountains in a valley. You can't have a valley with only one mountain. It's impossible. Well, He'd already took me up to that mountain there. See, I went right up, man. No climbing. No, I mean, I went up the mountain without the mountain. Okay, I'm there. All right. So the next day, we're singing again. And all at once, I'm not this kind of spiritual person that goes around doing all this stuff, believe me. But the Lord just lifted me up, and there I was in heaven. Just right there. I said, man, this is 2 in a row. This is really good. I'm really ready now. And there was all these people in white robes, and they all looked alike. I think I might have probably shared this here before. And they were all worshiping the Lord. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, I never heard nothing like it. It was the kind of thing you just melted. You wanted so bad you couldn't see straight. And I realized in an instant, you know how he does that, how he lets you know things, that all those people had a one-on-one relationship with him. Right then they were having it. And I saw in the back, in this corner, there was one spot open. There was a spot, there was a room there. And but I wanted that room. I wanted that spot. I wanted to be in that group. I didn't care what. But I had this feeling inside, this revelation in me that to get in there, I had to lose myself. Because you couldn't tell one of those persons from another. They all looked exactly alike. There was no difference. And I thought, but to step in there, I'm going to lose who I am. I'm going to be nothing. I'm going to be nothing, nothing, if I step in there. But it sounded so good, I couldn't help myself. So I stepped in there. And when I stepped in there, I had the most fantastic one-on-one communication with him that I had ever known in my life since or before. It was like there was Jesus and me were the only two people in the whole universe. It wasn't like, you know, glory, just that thing. Like there were just the two of us. And then I realized that every person there was having the same exact thing. And I thought, later, I thought, man, we talking about, well, I'm going to ask Jesus this, I'm going to ask Paul this, I'm going to ask... I said, them people aren't asking anything. They've got something that's so far beyond knowledge. They've got oneness with Him. Oneness with God. But it showed me something else. It showed me that you were on the mountain. Here's another mountain, you know? But here's another valley. Because you had to die there. You ain't dead now. You got to go back down into a valley again. Now, the thing that's interesting about going down the valley or going up the hill, going down to the valley is you don't realize you're going down. Things going on pretty good, right on top of it, and the anointing's flowing and you're working, and even when it's not flowing, people are saying amen, so you feel like you're doing okay. You get down there a ways, and when things start kind of get a little shaky, and before long, you find yourself back in the same place you were before. Only you're not recognizing that it's a valley. You're right back in it again. How did this happen to me? See, it doesn't have to happen to you because you're doing something wrong and living in sin. It's going to happen to you if you're born again. You can't avoid it. That's how He brings change. When you're in that valley, He's doing this thing. He's crushing you. He's breaking you. He's messing up everything you want. He's taking away everything you think you ever had. Man, I mean, spiritually, it's like in a tabernacle. Whenever they move from one place to another, you know, spiritually, you lose everything because nothing you've got here is going to help you out here. Nothing. You have to follow Him just yourself. Can't even take your friends. Just yourself, you know. And then He builds. But all this stuff that's happened before has prepared you. The valley. Because we've been taught this for a long time. You're in the valley or you're in the mountain. That's not true. You're in the valley. God is preparing you to be able to climb the mountain. You've got to climb it. You've got to climb out of that valley. Because as you go, listen, you build yourself strength. The air gets thin up there. It's different. Spiritually, things begin to change when you get up there a ways. You begin to feel a little different. There's trouble in things, and yet your attitude's changing a little bit. Now you're trying to climb. You're not just trying to get out of a valley now. Now you're trying to get to the top of the mountain. Because when you finally get up there, you've got clear revelation. You don't need mountaintop experiences. You got Him. There's nothing between you and Him. Scripture says, if I can find it, Psalm 48, 1 and 2. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Oh, man. I'm telling you, listen, Mount Zion is a people. It's people. Mount Zion is God's heart. I tell you, it's His heart. The law shall come forth from what? From Mount Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. But the law will come out of Zion. What you have up there prepares you to be able to go down. Because let me tell you, just as the climate change is going up, it changes going down. We don't hear many people talking about it, but it changes going down because you're in thinner air up there. You're in different circumstances, different environment. Up there, you're really free. But he says, you know, I'm not taking you down there to leave you down there. I'm taking you down to bring changes that's necessary for you to come up to the next mountain. Because I have mountains and mountains and mountains. And everyone brings change in your life. Everyone brings you closer, closer to me. Because that's what he's all about. Changing us. Changing us. What was the... I never can remember this brother's name, but I had this vision about getting saved and going to heaven. And no, this is somebody else. Somebody else. Anyway, he had this vision. And there was this throne, judgment throne. And so he thought it was a great white throne, or wasn't sure if it was a judgment seat of Christ. He said, No, this is not this throne. The Father was sitting there looking very serious on him. He was concerned. And he said, no, this is the throne where they see if you bear the family resemblance. See if you look like somebody that belongs to our family. Because that's what change is all about, to change you in the likeness of Christ. Now, can we see anything in here that says you might be at least be a cousin or something, you know, that you're related to us? Because if he doesn't see it, then probably you're not. We can be saved on what, but it's change that he's after. Listen, sometimes the gospel, gospel preached is just being you. Just being not afraid to be you. Not afraid to be who he is inside of you. Just letting him live sometimes. Sometimes in a restaurant. Just being polite with a waitress. It's amazing. Or like one brother does, you know, he always asks us, we're getting ready to bless our food. Is there anything you'd like us to pray for? That's a real opening bell right there. Because everybody's got something they want prayer. Even atheists want prayer. I mean, they got problems. Everyone does. But one prepares you for the other. Now, the problem, I think I left out one of them. Oh, yeah, I left out the plane. Don't want to forget the plane. All plains people start out in the valley. You got a mountain here and a mountain here, and you're in between. You're supposed to be going from here to here or from here to here. Either way you want to go. But when you turn, if you turn, for whatever reason you turn, you are now on a plain because there's no mountain ahead of you and there's no mountain behind you. And there's no more dying because you don't need to have any more preparation. You don't need to accept that stuff because you've got no mountain to climb. You can just go on your way. Now, there's three things, at least three, but three that I came up with that were real easy ones that can turn us. I used to think a lot about people, why they did things. And I really got myself about smoking when I was young. Excuse me. Why did I first take that first puff of that cigarette? Because there's no way I took that first puff and said, oh, I love cigarettes. You know, I mean, nobody ever did. You're coughing and hacking. It's like dying, killing you. Or like the guy that took the first drink of beer and said, oh, didn't that beer taste good? It's horrible. It's horrible. But we did, you know. And I think, why is that? Why did I do that? Why did I take that first smoke? What in me needed something? Not the smoke, but something. Was it because I think I want to be grown up. I figured men do that. I do that. I was about 13, 14. I said, men do that. I'll smoke these guys. They'll know I'm grown up. All I know, I got a habit. Same thing with beer. Why take a drink? Why do any of these things? Well, why turn when you're in a valley? Compromise. Not wanting the pressure. Whether it's from the world or from Christians. It can come from both sides. You know, I just can't deal with the pressure. So I compromise will turn you. Second one, easy. Rebellion. I ain't doing this. You ain't killing me. Because that's what, let's face it, that's what you feel like. I get concerned when people get saved and they can't remember when they got saved, the condition they were in. Man, I was miserable and pitiful. If I hadn't have been, I wouldn't have got saved. I mean, it wasn't like they were offering me a bed of roses and going to have a car and a new house. You know, I knew there was trouble involved there because he went through a lot of trouble to get me there. So I knew there was going to be trouble, especially if you're naming his name. Look what they did to him. So I'm going to expect something different? No. So I knew that was, you could do that. You can get driven to where you're beyond depression. You just want, you're mad at God. Was it Billy Graham, the man he started out with, who ended up going away from God because he came to the point where he just couldn't believe in a God. In fact, Billy Graham one time said he'd been a greater minister than him if he'd have stayed with it. He couldn't believe in a God that would let people suffer. He just came to that place. But there was a reason. See, there was something else in there. And when this brother did that book for Christ, interviewed him and asked him what he missed most, he said, I missed Jesus. He didn't miss God. Somehow, see, these are two different individuals, totally different. God's a mean guy, and Jesus is a good guy. He missed Jesus, but he didn't like God because God did those things to people. So he says, couldn't follow a God that did that. So something changes. Something causes us to move. If you ever deal with people in the occult, or in cults, I won't say the occult, I'll say cults. There's always something there that draws them. I mean, there's some need in there. I had people that belonged to, what was the thing? Est. I don't know if you remember, back in the 70s, it was a big thing. And in the hotel I was working in, we had thousands of people there for meetings. And I got to be kind of close with a couple. And so I told them about Jesus. And I said, and she said, well, why try Jesus? I said, try Jesus. Try Jesus. What is that? Is that like trying life? I mean, how does that work? I tried life. I said, because he is life. How do you try Jesus? Well, I tried him and it didn't work out. And so now I'm here with my spiritual guide, my spirit guides and all this. I mean, there was a need there. I don't know whether maybe in their salvation they never met Jesus. You know, a lot of people accept Jesus without ever meeting him. All looking for is forgiveness. You know, get hell out of my life and get my load off my back and then leave me alone. And then when they find out there's some requirements that maybe people aren't telling you, but you start feeling some things and you start getting some opposition, people change. The third one is probably the one that is the biggest one because it's quoted, Jim will tell you, unbelief. I mean, there are a lot more, but these three will pretty well take care of me. Unbelief. Just don't believe. Don't believe what? Don't believe that I'm in a valley. I think I'm in a pit. I mean, during that 6 months, I felt like I don't think I could reach up there and find the ground. I mean, it was just that bad. When I, you know, and I wasn't doing anything special. Listen, I wasn't doing anything special that he came and showed me what he showed me, and I was so spiritual. I was a disaster. But, see, that song changed my heart. He saw something in there that wanted him. Something in there that wanted him. Even though I was in despair and messed up, and he reached down and opened my eyes. You gotta want to have your eyes opened. You gotta want to have change. Really want to have change. I remember telling people, you know, cry out for it. Well, I can't cry. Well, my thing was in cry for a cry. You know? I used to have a hard time with our president that was two back. Very hard time. Until I heard a message and a brother was preaching. He says, just pray a father's blessing on him. That includes whatever he needs from God. And I said, I can do that. Man, I can pray that on my worst enemy. I can pray that over anybody. Just, God, give him a father's blessing. And I thought, now that changed something inside of me concerning people. Was it a great revelation that people could go out and start a church on? I don't think so. But it did something with me. Lee Illingworth used to say, you got somebody you're having trouble with? Put them on your breastplate. It's pretty hard to stay angry at someone you got on your breastplate. Put them on there and see how that goes. You just begin to mention them. You don't have to pray for them. Just mention them before the Lord. You know, pretty quick, you know, God's begin to turn and do something. Because those valleys prepare you to be able to climb the mountain. There isn't any, you know, elevator. There's no escalator. You've got to climb back up there. Moses didn't fly up there to meet God. You know, you think about that. He walked up there. It wasn't, you know, there probably wasn't a trail where he was walking, but he walked up there because that's where he had to go. That's where God was. And we have to do the same thing. Now, this week, you're going to have a good time because God is here. There's a peace in this place that's beyond anything I've ever experienced. I mean, literally. There's deliverance here if you want deliverance. There's teaching if you want teaching. There's help. There are people who will pray with you. Whatever your need is, whatever you think it is, the key is to be open. You know, maybe you're in a valley, but maybe you think you're in a valley and you're on your way up the mountain. You know, when you get in the foothills, it doesn't feel much different than being in a valley. It's only when you get up higher that you start noticing things because you start having problems and you got to put more strength on it. You got to be more persistent to get where you're going. Maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you're on a mountaintop. Not too many people come here on mountaintops, though. You know, they really don't. They really don't. But maybe, you know, maybe you're going down. Maybe you're heading down. You're not in despair. You didn't come here easy. If it had been easy, it wouldn't be worthwhile. You know, if God just gave us a free ticket, we'd have no appreciation. Look what happened to the children of Israel. Here's a generation that all they knew was miraculous. A whole generation that food was supplied. They didn't know anything else. Can you imagine walking in that for 40 years? And yet when they got in there, what killed them? Compromise. Why did they compromise? They began to think more about their army than the God of the army. The Canaanites had some steel chariots, so we couldn't drive them out, so we left some of them there, but we made them servants. Yeah, right, and they end up changing you. They end up conforming you to their image. I read that over and over again, and every one of them it was, but they had something. But they had something. And I thought, are you saying that God couldn't defeat the Canaanites? That God couldn't defeat the Jebusites? That God couldn't defeat the Hittites? No, you're saying you couldn't. Well, what were you doing in this program to where you thought you were doing it? And some of us try to climb out where we're at on our own strength. You got to stay and let God do the work. Listen, when He wants you out of that valley, He will lead you out. There's a lot of tears in there. Listen, there's tears in there to where when you get done crying, you still can't stop. You're no more tears, but inside you're still crying because of the pain, and there is pain. Think Jesus didn't have us pain and understand pain all His life. Listen, how about this? Give Him the morning and say, not my will, but thine be done. How many of us pray that prayer in the morning? He did. You think He didn't have a will? Oh, He didn't have a will. Nonsense. In the garden, not my will. And His will was great. What could have been wrong with His will? Nothing. But He said, not mine. I'm under you. I'm here for you. He wants us to be here for Him. Let us work to show ourselves approved, to be right with Him, to be open to Him, to be pliable in His hands. He wants change because He's got things in store for you. Like Jerry McGee was saying, bad times are coming. They are coming. And that's all right because Jesus wasn't too political. You know, I don't know whether He's a conservative or Democrat or Republican. I always say this, you know, we have some Christians who are Republicans, some Christians who are Democrats. And then we have some Democrats who are Christians and some Republicans who are Christians. Right, yeah, a few of them, yes, too. We have, don't leave them out. But the key is we have to make our mind, which am I? Am I a Christian that happens to belong to affiliation or have a conservative or whatever, liberal? Or am I one of those that happens to be a Christian? I said, because if we're one of those that happens to be a Christian, when the push comes to shove, compromise. You know, no matter what, no matter how the end must be or will be, we're going to compromise it away because we're something other than a Christian first. Jesus says, I want you to be a Christian, period. And I really believe, like Jerry said, God is going to bring us back to that place, to where the New Testament people, they wasn't worried about Caesar or Herod or any of those people. You know, they weren't on their menu. The real problem they had was with their own religious people. But they didn't worry about them either. They just did the will of God and let it fall where it fall. Like we said, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, save us or not, we ain't bowing. That's just the program. We're not. And I believe that we're going to come to days like that. We're going to come to a lot of days before that that are going to, you know, bring a lot of people to really deal with where they're at and who I am. Who am I? Am I this or am I in God? God's calling the people. He's got a purpose and a plan you would not believe for these last days. In Annie's vision, she said that one of her visions was very interesting. She said, you know, the thing that God is going to give to these people that really love Him, says, is almost deceitful. She says, because it's going to be so glorious, but she says, it is going to provoke the enemy to such wrath because he can't stand that glory standing in front of him and not afraid of him. And he will do all he can to destroy it because it is the threat to his whole kingdom. But God is preparing the people now to be the people that carry the glory. We sang that. The glory. Do we really want the glory? Then we've got to pay the price. Huh? But we're not alone. You're not alone. We're together. We're all bearing the same thing. We may go from different angles, but we're all climbing the same mountains. We're all walking in the same valleys because He's getting rid of the same stuff in all of us. You know, that old nature doesn't want to give up. We don't want to be the carnal people. We want to be the people that God chose us to be, that He knows we are, that He knew we are before the worlds began. I mean, He saw us the way He sees us, and He says, this is who you are. You're not that make-believe person you think you see in the mirror. You're not that person at all. When you let me have my way, when you let me move in your life, this stuff comes forth. You can't keep it hid. But if we don't let Him, if we resist, then what happens is it doesn't come forth. And we begin to want to be like the other, dare I say, churches, the other nation. We want to be like those around us who are not going through all those problems, who seem to be prospering and having great times, and they're building churches and having wonderful times, and it's amazing. And they don't seem to be paying any price. And we get envious. We get envious. God says, I'm against that thing. Envy will not sit in my house. I'll not have it there. He wants us to humble ourselves. Coming down that mountain, listen, if you're in a valley, well, here, I'll give us three things. If we're on a plane, if you find yourself on a plane, and you know, you got to be real with yourself, then you got to make a turn. Right or left, you've got to turn towards the mountain. If you're in a valley, you've got to accept where you are and not fight it. And not let the enemy convince you that you're in a pit. Because God doesn't have pits. Not for His people. He has pits for His enemies. But not for His people. And if we're on the mountain, this might be the toughest one. If you're on a mountain, we need to humble ourselves. Because otherwise, we come down with pride. And listen, when we come down with that attitude, when we hit it, man, I'm telling you, we might be in a pit. I mean, because it drops out from underneath us so fast, we hit the bottom so hard, we don't know where we're at. Because He will withstand pride to death. But if we humble ourselves, we're not running out saying, hey, I was up there. Don't you know who I am? We just humble ourselves. I mean, it's not easy. I can roll that word off, humble. Humble yourself. It's not easy. It's being nobody when people are telling you you're somebody. I remember a brother one time had done a service, and some of the men was praying for him, and he was praying and prophesying what a great man he was, and oh, hallelujah, God's going to use you, you're going to convert the world. And his prayer was, well, Lord, we know the truth, don't we? You and I know the truth. Wonderful what we're saying, but you and I know the real truth. I'm just a man before you. Thank God you saved me. And when you're not moving in my life, I'm just like anybody else. I'm a fallible person. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. And sometimes I get rebellious. But I love you. And I'm your child. And I want change. And that's what he wants for each one of you. That's what he wants for me. Believe me. Nobody gets out of here without change. This week is going to be a wonderful time. I just tell you, don't miss it at 6 o'clock. I mean, for myself, that's where it all starts. I mean, you're just early for breakfast by a couple hours. But it's a wonderful time in the morning, a wonderful time. And I think that I just want to pray for you. Father, you know this people. You know each one personally. You brought them here. Maybe against all kinds of odds and all kinds of things that tried to hinder them. And there were some that were so sure they were going to come and they're not here because you didn't bring them. We prayed that prayer here, that you would bring those you want here. Bring those that need to be here for you, that you could do a work. And I thank you, Father, for each one that's here. And I pray, Lord, you're going to do a work, such a beautiful work in their lives, that they'll be changed. Not perfect, not perfected, but changed. So that they can tell, Father, what's the flesh and what isn't. What's demonic and what isn't. You know, I had a friend one time went through deliverance and she said, one thing I realized, I now have a choice. That's what I pray, Lord. When we really experience deliverance, we have a choice. We don't have to do the things we did before. We have a choice. We might do them, but we do them by choice. No longer do we do them because someone's running our life. Bless these people tonight, Lord. Give them all a good rest, Lord. Bless those, Father, that are still coming, that will still be in the days to come. I just thank you, Lord, for these. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. And you're dismissed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.